Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan. Matt, darn LTU wanted him to do something, and they're paying him, so what are you going to do, right? So you're stuck with me today, but we'll muddle through. And we have with us on the line Kyle Green, who's with Ford Motor Company, and he is involved in a very innovative program called Driving Skills for Life, and you can find it at the same URL, drivingskillsforlife.com. So, Kyle, tell me all about this. Just before we started, you mentioned this was the 15th year that you've been doing this. So what was the genesis? What's the backstory on how this all got started?
Yes. Yeah, so as you said, and before I start, I just want to thank you for having me on and talk about the program. But we began the Ford Driving Skills for Life program in 2003, and there's a very unfortunate reason why we started the program, and that's because vehicle crashes was then and still is now the leading cause of death for young people in our country. So ages 15 to 19, 16 to 20, whichever range you look at within that, that's the leading cause of death. And so we wanted to do something about that. So we partnered with a group out of Washington, D.C. called the Governor's Highway Safety Association. We did some research. We got some automotive safety leaders together and said, okay, why is this happening? Why are young people so overrepresented as it relates to crashes and fatalities? And what we discovered was it's a simple answer. Inexperience. They just do not have enough time behind the wheel. They haven't encountered certain situations. So they don't have the skills and the knowledge through basic driver education to react to those situations. So what we discovered within that is there were four areas that were the cause of about 60% of those crashes. And those were vehicle handling. So just if you encounter a situation where your vehicle does something it shouldn't, like maybe the back end slides out if you hit some ice or snow or gravel. Hazard recognition, so being prepared by scanning ahead, knowing what the different hazards are that could pop out in whatever situation you're in, on the freeway, residential, and being prepared and knowing what you're going to do if such a situation occurs. And then we had speed management and space management. So, 35 miles per hour feels different in a residential neighborhood than it would on a freeway. So obviously you can imagine going 35 miles per hour on a freeway, the kind of reaction you would get from folks and the kind of danger you'd be putting yourself in. And then going 35 through maybe a school zone, that's going to feel very fast. So helping the young people understand those nuances of driving and then giving them the skills to be ready for those. And then, as you mentioned, we're in our 15th year, so there has been a lot of evolution in the issues that these young people are facing as smartphones started to grow in popularity. Every teenager had one, and I shouldn't limit this comment to just teenagers. Everyone has one, and unfortunately, they're using them while they're behind the wheel. So distracted driving has become a large issue that we talk about. And then we've also talked about impaired driving over the years. So drugs, alcohol, and, as a lot of the laws around our country are changing, a lot of the uses of some of these substances are going to change, and people may be using them while driving. So we talk about a lot of that and just helping these young people make better decisions behind the wheel and then equipping them with the skills they need to become safer drivers.
So when you go to the website, what will folks see?
One of the first things they'll see when they go to drivingskillsforlife.com is if we have any behind-the-wheel training sessions coming up. We do training sessions around the country where we We reserve a very large parking lot, and we can train about 100 teens in a half-day session. So we'll do two sessions per day over a two-day period or a weekend. So the first thing they'll see is that schedule. The second thing they'll notice is we understand our limitations when it comes to getting these young people behind the wheel with professional instructors and talking about situations I just mentioned. So we developed an online academy that's a curriculum housed on our website. It's videos of our actual instructors that we use at our behind-the-wheel training, and many of these folks are either they're professional drivers of some kind. They either have a racing background or are Hollywood stunt drivers, and essentially we use those people because they're credible when they talk about the relationship between a driver and a vehicle and the vehicle and the road. And then the ones that we've used over the years, we've also learned have a great method of connecting with the teens. They're really good at teaching. They're really good at getting the young folks to understand what they're telling them. So those are the two biggest things that you'll find at our website and that will draw people in.
So it's more or less an entryway for you to sign up to get in a physical vehicle and work with these driving professionals who will teach you the skills that will keep you out of trouble, sort of like that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Reminds me, I'm a scuba diver, and to get certified, they put you in all these situations that you need to get out of that will kill you, so that way you learn before you actually go in the water. So I'm assuming it's something along those lines.
Situations that we hope they'll never encounter on the road, but we'll put them through it. You know, one of the easiest things we can do is we put them behind the wheel and we say, okay, take out that smartphone. Now text me a message or type out the Pledge of Allegiance. Whatever the message is, the easiest thing we discover is that you can't do two things at once. I like to say to our teens that come through the program, there's no such thing as multitasking. You're doing half of a couple of tasks. So you're not giving your full attention. So either they're going to drive well and the message makes absolutely no sense, or the message will look perfect and they've knocked over 18 or 19 cones on our course, which we affectionately refer to as puppies. So we want to discourage them from running over those road cones.
Yeah, okay. So any idea in the 15 years how many kids have gone through this program, ballpark figure, any way to know?
Within the U.S., I believe it's around 20,000 that we've put through just in the U.S. Over the course of that 15 years. And that's keeping in mind when we first started in 2003, we were doing one to two behind-the-wheel training events per year. And we've evolved to doing anywhere between 15 and 25, depending on the year and our schedule. So we've really grown rapidly. And one thing we're really proud of, too, is we're now in 39 other countries outside of the U.S.
Wow.
And we're doing a lot of different training, both behind the wheel and one thing our global teams have helped us with is using different technologies and talking about different things that are affecting the drivers in their markets. And the way we can demonstrate some of that is through some virtual reality tools. And that's some stuff we're really excited about as we're in development.
Interesting. Okay, and so around the country, do you do this in all 50 states, or what do you do?
We have done the program in all 50 states, and that includes, obviously, Alaska and Hawaii. I was lucky enough to go up to Anchorage and do one of our programs, and then my colleague drew the Hawaii straw. So,
tough call there, huh? Yeah, so.
But we've also done some programming in Puerto Rico and again, the things that we've learned, you know, both globally and within the U.S. is each state is a little bit different in the things that affect a driver, whether it's weather related, whether it's speed limits, or just the driver education level of driver's ed that they receive. So, so we've developed our program to adapt to each individual market and try to do the different things that will affect those teens that we're talking to that particular weekend. Because if we go in with a program in a box, they're going to tune us out if it has no relevancy. So that's part of the reason why we've tried to keep up with all the different issues surrounding the technologies on the vehicle, the infrastructure changes. One of the things that we're doing in a virtual space, so we're using headsets, putting those on the students and saying, okay, you may start to see roundabouts coming up in your neighborhood. And when you went through driver's ed, you might not have talked about what you need to do when you're going through a roundabout. So we put them in a virtual space. So they're sitting behind the wheel of a virtual car. They're controlling that vehicle, and then they're going through roundabout situations. And we're introducing that as we develop not only different ways to show levels of impairment, we're talking about driving around large trucks with braking distances, and we can really demonstrate that effectively in a virtual space.
I'm hoping that in we winter states up in the upper Midwest that you put these kids through the drills on slippery conditions. Is that part of it?
Yes, we have our vehicle handling course, and the students affectionately refer to it as drifting, but that's not what they're doing.
No.
We put them behind the wheel with a professional instructor, and we actually have a special piece of equipment that we attach to the axle of a vehicle, and they'll be going 10 to 14 miles per hour in an oval, and no matter what they do, they're going to spin that vehicle. So we're not teaching them how to spin it. We're teaching them what it feels like once it finally does, and then what they need to do when they encounter that. And I'll say the most important thing that they can remember is look where you want the car to go. Your eyes control everything. If you ever catch yourself looking at an extremely interesting billboard on the side of the freeway, you might notice that you've drifted that way, and then you'll correct. The same is true if you hit snow or ice and your vehicle goes completely sideways. You want to look where you want that car to go, because as you're in a state of panic,
yeah,
your body will become a slave to your eyes. So that's something we like to emphasize. And then another important part that we're adding to our virtual reality environment is the on-road, off-road recovery, whether it's in rural areas or whether it's in areas where the road may be damaged. I drive here in Michigan in the winters, and I drove in today and hit several potholes.
Yeah, there's some big ones out there.
And in order to avoid those in a couple of cases, I needed to go off to the side of the road or the shoulder of the road. And what you want to remember is if your tire goes over the edge of the pavement or concrete, not to overcorrect when you're coming back. So the virtual space allows us to show them what that's like in a safe environment.
Okay, we've got less than a minute left. Kyle Green from Ford Motor Company, why don't you give the relevant I can do it, information on where folks surf on over to find more information about the program.
Sure, they can go to drivingskillsforlife.com, or they can just Google Ford Driving Skills for Life, and they'll bring up the site. And whatever country they may be listening in, if they go to forddsfl.com, it'll bring up the site that if their country has a website for the program. We're also on social media, so check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're always trying to keep everyone up to date on where we'll be with our behind the wheel training, but also any new innovations that you might be able to use in the classroom or in any other environment through our virtual reality tools.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We'll be right back here shortly with Tim Boucher from the Engage Masterclass. I know everyone's all on Twitter waiting for that, right? But for this moment, this is Mike Brennan, and you've been listening to M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. be invaluable, be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan. Matt is working with LTU at a program today, so he's not with us. But we do have with us Timber Shea on her monthly podcast from the Engage Masterclass. That's part of Inform. And she has with her Kylie Gunther, CEO of Spectalite. Did I get that pronounced right?
Correct.
Okay. An advanced engineering material supplier for bamboo fiber composites. She should talk to Amanda Luan. That's Bamboo Detroit. They could work together, right?
I know. So,
but go ahead. Take it away, Timber.
Oh, thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate being back. So, Kylie, welcome. Thanks for being here. Tell us, Spectalite, tell us a little more about it.
So Spectalite is a woman-owned advanced engineering and materials manufacturer. So we make lightweight, sustainable, and eco-friendly plastics and composites by incorporating bamboo. And these materials can be used in the automotive industry, home and housewares, packaging, pretty much anywhere plastic is already incorporated.
Why would I want to use bamboo instead of plastic?
Well, there's lots of reasons. In the automotive industry, we were a part of Automobility last week at the auto show, which was awesome. A lot of people are interested in our materials for car interior parts because they are lightweight. We can take a large portion of weight out per part, which helps increase fuel economy and also promotes sustainability, which is why a lot of people want to use our materials.
Very cool. So Automobility, that was a part of the auto show. Where
in the basement, by the way, so you had to be looking for it, you know.
Yeah, so. It was a little hard to find. I popped by. So how many companies were included in that this year?
Well, there were 57 companies chosen from all over the globe. Spectalite, we were so lucky, we were one of only 7 companies there representing Michigan, so it was a huge honor for us.
Wow,
pretty impressive. And how was it? What would you say your biggest learning was from the auto show?
My biggest learning was how fast I can run across Cobo Hall. We had to get all the way downstairs when someone was visiting our booth. But we learned a lot of things. We got to connect with a lot of other small businesses and startups like ourselves, which is always great to see who else is in the environment. And we see these people at different events all through the growth of our company. So it's great to come and see them and see how they're growing and what we're doing and what we can do together.
So what may be something you would make for the automobile industry out of bamboo?
We would make plastic, which then an OEM or tier one or two would use to make a part for an interior part of the car.
Is it molded then, or how is it done?
We can use extrusion molding, thermal forming, and injection molding. So there's a lot of different ways you could mold different parts. And we do both Class A and non-Class A surfaces. So things you see and things you don't see in the car.
Mm-hmm. And does it look plastic-like or does it look bamboo-like?
Oh, it looks like plastic. People don't even believe there's actually bamboo in there.
Really?
And then we have to tell them, yes, there is bamboo. You just can't see it. It's below the surface.
Hmm.
So lighter, stronger,
mm-hmm.
more sustainable.
Cheaper, less money?
It's cost-effective. So right now it's about cost-neutral, and we think the more we vamp up our production, then it's also going to be cost beneficial to the customer as well.
Huh.
So what type of products do you do aside from automobile industry?
We do a lot of different things. One thing that I'm really interested in is materials that you can compost. I'm all about as little waste to landfill as possible. So we have a lot of interest in one-time use products like forks you get sometimes when you get carry out.
Mm-hmm.
That fork is plastic, and then if you don't recycle it, it just sits in the landfill forever. So we released a compostable material back in June that is actually bio-based, so it can be composted in industrial composting.
You know, I just heard something on the way in. They were talking about China used to be or has been.
I heard that too.
A big recipient of plastic recycled products, but now they're saying nope. And so, but there doesn't seem to be U.S. facilities are big enough to process that. Is that something that, you know, I'm not saying you guys would take all that plastic, because how much is that? A lot of plastic, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is that something you're looking to do going forward maybe, or?
It's something that I've wanted to do my whole life, is just decrease the amount of garbage overall. I know that sounds weird. Like, why is this person so interested in garbage? But garbage is something that affects people on every level every day. So as we grow, I do think maybe that's an opportunity for either my company or myself down the line.
Okay.
That's great. So your company has been in business how long?
We will actually, I'll be an entrepreneur for 5 years this year.
Whoa.
That's terrific. Do you, now, being a woman in tech and in STEM, it's a rarity. Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice do you have for any other women entrepreneurs who might be thinking about getting into the industry somehow in tech or STEM?
Just go ahead and do it, and don't let anything stop you. When I was a little girl, I was actually told by an adult that I would never be good at math because I was a girl.
Ooh. Tanya Matthews would love to hear that story, right? You know? But
look at me now, and I'm owning an engineering company, so you can go ahead and do it too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's terrific. So what are your big plans for this year?
Our big plans this year is mm-hmm. our first products. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what they are yet, but our first products.
Who do we tell?
Our first products are going to production. So you'll be hearing a lot more from us this year, and this is really going to be the year for Spectalite.
That's excellent. Excellent. So after Auto Show, are you doing any pitch competitions or anything that any other entrepreneurs might be able to do?
I've got some stuff in the works. I haven't had too much time to focus on that. Automobility took a huge portion of my time, but
it lasted a week, too.
Yeah, my feet are still hurting.
Yeah, it went through Sunday. Then it all this morning, you probably had to take everything down, right?
Or it went through. Our portion only went from Sunday to Thursday.
Oh, okay. Because so. I know some of it went through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I stopped going on Wednesday. After that, I was. That was it. 4 days was enough.
That's
you
enough.
Know, yeah, run. So, yeah, it worked out really well. I know the company that won Best in Show, top prize, I talked to them. We talked to them on the Internet Advisor over the weekend, and they have an innovative 3D mapping process that's being used by both MCity and the MSU, I'm not sure what it's called, Catalyst Incubator?
Not sure.
Yeah, MSU uses it as well, even though the company itself has offices in Seattle and New York. That's what I said. I said, Michigan? They go, mm-hmm. No, we're working with Michigan companies.
Yeah.
So.
Really good.
Made the governor happy, you know.
Oh, so, very. Yeah. Very, very. So Kylie is actually going to start the Engage Masterclass cohort next month with us.
Oh, you haven't done that yet. I thought you had already done that.
We were going to kick off in January, but we got pushed back to February with all the auto show stuff going on. So
Okay. Actually
on February 10th, we're going to kick off, which...
Where's the bell?
Oh, yeah.
Shameless plug bell. Okay, go ahead.
Shameless plug. So Engage Masterclass, again, for everyone to know, it's we work with emerging second stage women entrepreneurs to help them get to the next level. $1 million in revenue or to be poised to accept a venture or angel capital. So far, we've had 89 women go through the program, not including the 12 that are going to start in February, and they have created 304 jobs, been granted 35 patents, and raised $41.3 million in follow-on funding and $9 million in government contracts. So
I like how she could just rattle that off, you know?
So,
unrehearsed, but so is 12 the maximum that she can handle?
I could probably squeeze in a couple more if somebody wanted to get in contact with me in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, well... Yeah. You've gone this
one
far.
Or two.
Tell them how to do that.
One or two.
Yeah.
So it's contact me directly or through the website at www.inforummichigan.org.
And your email address?
Email.
I know what it is, but you need to share it.
TSHEA@inforummichigan.org. So
okay.
We'd love to have some more. And Kylie?
Tell me, why are you interested in the Engage Masterclass? I mean, what piqued your curiosity? Why did you decide to get involved? I know it's not till February, but what's up with that? What are you?
So, like I said previously, 2018 is going to be the year of Spectalite. It's going to be the year we really, really start getting our products into production. And I think being with Patty and Tumber and everybody else in Engage is really going to help me push Spectalite to the next level. And it'll be some of the support that I need to get my business there.
Yeah. where you find out, the entrepreneurs find out they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And making those connections to them, to people that they would not normally run into on any given day. It's really important, that strategic connections.
After 18 years of being an entrepreneur, at least in this past, and I've had other previous businesses, I could probably write a book on what not to do because I think I've done it. So,
pretty common.
Lots of things to learn.
Well, the breakfast was great on Friday for me.
I missed the Inform breakfast. Yeah, missed that.
And that was really powerful for me as a woman in STEM and technology field to see that many other women who were there in the automotive industry. There's like, what, 900 women?
Yeah, over 900, over 900 people in attendance on Friday. And we had a great panel with Marcy Cleveland from Ford and a couple others in the industry. And we had the most adorable robot named Curry on stage with us on Friday. So we really got a chance to expose a lot of people and 150 students also to the different opportunities in tech and auto.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about the robot. When I was setting up out in the lobby, I'm getting ready to shoot some video here with our friends with Red Level. And so you were telling me a little bit about that robot that I missed. I'm sorry. And Matt was supposed to represent us, and he didn't show either.
That's okay.
Huh?
That's okay. Next year.
Yeah.
Next year. So the CEO of Mayfield Robotics brought the most adorable little robot, just a little tiny guy, and he's his name's Curry. He, she,
whatever.
They determine it's not an it though.
Not
they don't want it.
It
to be an it. It has to be
one or the other.
One
when
or the
it,
other.
When it feels that it wants to be that one.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very intuitive. So this little guy is available actually for purchase at a reasonable price, and he plays music. He talks. His
How
eyes bat.
How tall is it?
Maybe a foot and a half.
Oh, little.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just a little guy.
And you can tickle him, and he says, "Oh, that tickles is adorable."
Yeah, so lots of very interesting tech. That's the first time we've had a robot on stage at the Auto Show Breakfast in the 16 years we've been doing it. So
I have a friend in West Michigan who's a total Luddite, and I'd love to get something like that for him because it would freak him totally out. He wouldn't know what to make of it, you know?
Yeah, it was great. So the technology is amazing. So not just what Spectolite's doing with the bamboo and wonderful new technology in that aspect, but even the robots and everything. The CEO said that this robot actually gets to take pictures, you know, kind of when they're not expecting it at home. He was leaving to come to Detroit for the auto show, and he was kissing his boys goodbye, and the robot actually took a picture of that while his wife was busy doing other things. So he said it was really pretty amazing. So capturing moments in his life that he didn't even get a chance to capture himself.
I'm sure we'd all want a robot following us around all the time, shooting video of us, right? Maybe not. But it does sound interesting. All
Definitely.
Right, we're running out of time, so let's get some more information out there about what your program is, what it does. We already got the numbers. But if they want to, you got a couple more slots available, maybe?
Could squeeze a couple more people in if they really need to get there. We'd love to have them. So you can contact me at informmichigan.org. And to learn more about Kylie's company,
you can visit us at spectolite.com.
And Timber is also, I got a minute left. I'm just getting the signal here. Hopefully that's the right signal. All right. So, never know with Jessica. So hopefully have you involved in our IoT Tech Connect show in April, where I want to feature a lot of women entrepreneurs.
We're
so we
got to
work that out. So might be a candidate for her, you know, so or
Absolutely.
Even your current class or something like that.
Yeah,
but we'll talk afterwards. But we're only 73 days out, so Mike is scrambling right now.
It's the countdown, yes. Yeah. Inform and Engage are in.
All right,
we will definitely be with you, so looking forward to that.
All right, well, that was Timber Shea with the Engage Masterclass and Kylie Gunther with Spectolite. And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We will be right back with the Red Level folks.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches.
Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan. I'm flying solo. Matt is working with LTU today, earning his paycheck. Not sure what he's doing, but I'm here and I'll manage. We've already got through half the show, so we're good. So we now have the Red Level monthly segment, and I'm going to make sure I get Marco De Aristotle's name correct.
Perfect.
I'm looking at him, okay. And Red Level, let's talk a little bit about what you guys do. We always assume people don't know anything about companies, maybe the first time they've heard about it. I obviously know much about Red Level, but why don't you tell us about it?
Red Level is one of the premier managed service providers in Michigan for the IT industry. We have the honor and privilege of working customers throughout many different industries in Southeast Michigan, helping them advance their technology, keep their data secure, keep their resources backed up, and really just making sure they have the proper technology solutions to help their company grow and move into the future.
Okay. So managed service provider, people I understand the term, but really boil that down for somebody. Essentially, you're their outsourced IT department, essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly. In this day and age, you'll find a lot of the businesses that we support, which we concentrate on the small to medium-sized business sector, they're outsourcing their IT more and more.
Oh,
they've kind of outgrown the stage of, you know, my cousin Fred, who's been doing my IT up to now.
His kid did my website. You know, that's why it looks like it does, right?
So. Exactly. They've outgrown that mom and pop shop phase, and now they really need a true solution provider to you know, make sure that they're moving on the right path forward. So,
yeah, and anymore, everybody wants to focus on their core competency, and for most non-technology companies, that is not their IT department, and they may not even have a full-time person doing that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to fill that purpose, we really want to be thought of as almost like a family member. We want the company that we're supporting to feel like we're just an extension of their team, that we're another branch, that we're just in the next office. We're a quick phone call away. You know, being local to all the businesses that we support, we're a short drive away, you know, so we can be there in a moment's notice if needed.
And things like software as a service. Now, that's a term we might want to define. We do have a business audience that may not understand that, but that's really, really important with cloud computing, right?
Yeah, everything today is as a service,
right,
in some nature. Infrastructure as a service, hardware as a service, software as a service, disaster recovery as a service.
Yep.
The list goes on.
Explain what that means.
Yeah, with software as a service specifically, we are able to host a client's applications in the cloud, for instance, at our data center where we will host your servers and any other technology resources that you need hosted, giving you the reliability and redundancy that the data center provides. So instead of running software or resources locally, you connect to a remote resource, the quote-unquote cloud, and use your applications.
But it's not literally the cloud. Some people actually think that. It's up there in the sky somewhere, right?
You know? Indeed.
So we're going to have to talk about the checklist here, the managed service provider checklist. So what's that all about?
The managed service provider checklist, basically a list that a lot of business and decision makers look to and think about when they're trying to select a managed service provider. So they will consider everything from fast service and response time. For instance, we have a lot of accounting customers that it's tax season right now. Mm. So they can afford little to no downtime. They're working late hours. And when a problem comes up, they need a solution fast. So whether we get it done over the phone or we have to drive out and take care of them, you know, fast response time is essential. Another area that we focus on is disaster recovery and planning. So with various environmental factors out there, power outages, internet outages, et cetera, We have various ways of mitigating those environmental factors and other things that could cause outages to keep your data safe, secure, and ensure that business continuity. As we mentioned earlier, the local on-site maintenance and support, being that we're so close to all the businesses that we touch, we can be out at a moment's notice if needed. Security testing and monitoring. Security obviously is a huge area of focus in this day and age, especially in 2018. It's a really, really large area of concentration for Red Level, making sure that data breaches are kept to a minimum or eliminated, closing up those holes, making sure that the hackers can't get in from the outside. We see things like phishing attacks, running rampant lately.
Ask the Democratic National Committee about that. They know all about phishing attacks.
Yeah, exactly. So there are a lot of tools and security awareness programs that we will provide to our customers so we can make sure that everyone's as knowledgeable and protected as possible to cut down on those bites, basically, by people.
Now, a big part of it for security is having the people trained. I mean, when you really boil security down, it's not the outside breach so much as somebody on the inside being stupid, doing something they shouldn't be doing. So do you deal with that too?
Yeah, exactly. And so there's a whole segment of the industry called security awareness training, which is exactly what you're referring to. There's many different companies out there that offer different types of packages and programs that they offer them to us as a service provider, and then we can deploy those solutions to our clients. So they in general consist of, say, like modules that come out with some recurrence, weekly, monthly, however often you want, that train your company's employees on what to do, what not to do, what to look for when reading certain emails, like what not to fall culprit to, basically. And can actually provide tests to these employees with, fake phishing
emails. Oh, yeah, you want to make sure.
Emails. And then it will actually measure the results. Bob in, cube number two clicked on this these email tests like 5 times. So and we'll send a report back to the administrator, and then we know who to kind of focus our training efforts on.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else do you guys do at Red Level? What that the SoHo business group should be thinking about, right? Not worried about.
Yeah, we really cover a lot of areas. Your standard everyday PC and server support, and then moving into things like various types of networking, especially wireless networking, firewalls and security, that whole field. Obviously, apart from security, the other big thing today is cloud services, like we mentioned. So we deal a lot with taking customers to the cloud. We're a big partner. We've partnered in a large way with Microsoft. So we will use a lot of the services and solutions that they offer to, take our customers' resources to the cloud and, just future-proof them, make sure that they're ready for the next steps in technology.
So I see on your title here, you're the help desk manager. What type of questions do you, in general, do you typically get?
On the help desk, we deal with more so the day-to-day support, but in addition to, your standard PC troubleshooting and maintenance, we're the first line of defense for any sort of issues that come up for our customer, no matter big nor small. So it could be a server has crashed, a power outage, an internet outage, you name it. Their wireless could be not working. We handle requests from CEOs of businesses every day. We handle complex virtualized environments for our customers, and so we're the first line of defense. And then as escalations might be needed for various tickets and various problems, we have a whole different team of engineers called our project team that we can kick questions up to them for additional support if needed.
Okay. And I know you're based in Novi. You got a new facility out there, year old, I guess?
Yeah, just over a year. Gorgeous, gorgeous building.
Lots of space, whereas the other one, you were very, very cramped.
Yeah, we have, I think, about three times the space in our new building.
And are you guys hiring right now?
Yeah, actually, we are. We have a few different positions that we're hiring for. And, you know, always looking to add the right people to our staff.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that? That's Matt's question, but since he's not here, I have to ask it for him, right?
Got it, got it. Yeah, we're actually hiring for a position on the help desk right now. We have an opening there. We have an opening for an engineer as well, part of the engineering or project team. And I think we have an opening as well for a project manager, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, basically just looking to continue to bolster our staff as our company grows.
And so if people are interested in applying for those jobs?
Yeah, you can find through Indeed, through Monster, Dice, some of these online job search portals, and also just right through our website. If you go to the careers page, you'll find all of these positions listed there.
Okay. Any other what's your outlook? I mean, for 2018 for your managed service provider, what's on the horizon here? You guys are dealing with right now that maybe is not quite here yet that you're thinking is going to arrive.
Yeah, cloud obviously is big, but really I think our probably about the same, if not maybe even more so than cloud services, is kind of this new field of security as a service, another one of these as a service acronyms,
yeah.
SaaS, security
right.
as a service. So there are many different ways in which we can help ensure the security of a company's data. Everything from file encryption to two-factor authentication to secure file transfers, email encryption, you name it, the anti-phishing, et cetera, ransomware protection. Ransomware is crazy lately.
Yeah.
So we're able to offer this suite of services as a bundle for our customers, as added value to everything else that we provide them.
And what's the question you hate the most that you get all the time on the help desk, where you want to reach through that microphone and slap them?
we just wish people wouldn't fall victim to some of these phishing and malware attacks. Unfortunately, it's just, the reality today. So, yeah, when someone calls in and says, oh, I think I clicked on something I probably shouldn't
and
have.
Now what's a Bitcoin, right? what is that, $10,000 for a Bitcoin? I know it's coming down.
It changes every day. I know it was like 12 grand recently.
Oh, it was up to 15, actually.
Yeah.
And it was selling a couple of years ago. I could have bought it for a nickel apiece, It's like, why would I want cryptocurrency, right?
I know, honestly.
All right. Well, we're running out of time, I think. Yes, Jess? 1 minute. Okay. So, again, why don't you give that information? People, you got them all excited. They go, damn, I got to, sign up for Red Level. So how do they do that?
Indeed. You can find us online at redlevelnetworks.com. Reach us by phone, 248-412-8210 is our help desk line. 8200 is our main number.
Ask for Janet, right? Janet Tyler.
Janet Tyler is our director of HR.
Okay, good. She's an old friend of mine, so I had to throw that in.
There you go.
Give her a little shout out.
Fantastic.
She's probably listening right now, right?
So, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this segment. That's DeMarco.
Marco D. Aristotle.
Marco D. Aristotle. I reversed it there.
Yeah.
Who's the help desk manager at Red Level, and this is Mike Brennan at M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back, and Dan Lorman's going to scare us more about cybersecurity.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Well, it's Mike Brennan. We're in our final segment at M Squared TechCast, and we have with us Dan Lohrman, who, gosh, has many used to work for the state for 17 years. His last job was as Chief Information Security Officer, and now he's doing similar functions, private tech for a security mentor. How are you doing today, Dan?
Doing great, thanks. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. So I was telling everybody you were going to give us really scary headlines to you know, tell us what's going on in cybersecurity these days. So what's the latest threat?
Well, there's a lot of them. You know, as you look at ransomware, certainly is huge. As you look at 2018, you know, in this year, and that's, I think we're going to talk about this in the next few minutes, is, you know, there's just a whole laundry list of all the different vendors talking about 2018 being worse than 2017, and I really think that everyone needs to take note and really look at the predictions that are coming down. You know, from ransomware to artificial intelligence attacks coming in, machine learning attacks, also, you know, just really right down the list. We can go through more detail on all of these, but. Cryptocurrencies are huge right now, of course. You know, the whole Bitcoin up and down the roller coaster ride, but attacks against those Bitcoin wallets and different types of cryptocurrencies, and then just a ton of different threats related to the chips, of course, that just came out recently. We can talk more about that as well, but the Intel chipset vulnerabilities that are out there.
Yeah, just it doesn't seem to get any better. It just keeps getting worse, right? So ransomware, until we solve that problem, the bad guys are going to keep hitting us with that, right?
Really, they are. And what I thought I'd do, Mike, is just start off by just, you know, walking through what some of the major vendors were saying, you know, some of the major predictions. I'm not going to read through all of these, but, you know, Trend Micro said in 2018, digital extortion will be at the core of most cyber criminal business models. It's going to be expanding ransomware to new types of, you know, a lot of the hits were Windows-based, but, you know, looking at more at Linux, more at even iOS devices, mobile devices. Symantec had three things to say about expensive home devices will be held for ransom. IoT devices will be hijacked, used as for DDoS attacks. IoT.
We already had one of those attacks. That was about 6 or 8 months ago, where we had that the IoT dumb ones that didn't have any security protocols on them. Right?
That's right. You're right. Definitely. I think, but you know, really turning that into also ransomware. So we've had attacks on IoT, but you know, that then basically holding a house, you know, holding a smart cities ransom or holding a homeowner's ransom for devices in your house. That would be a new trend.
Yeah, that smart cities one in particular, I mean, that's like the new mantra for the mega, like Ann Arbor, I'm sure, will be a smart city, one of the first in Michigan. But then there's a downside to that, right?
Exactly. You know, I think there's always, you know, I think really you got two schools out there with smart cities, you know, more and more data being collected, more and more, you know, certainly, you know, GM just announced in 2019 we're going to have you know, cars that drive themselves, autonomous vehicles, the roads are becoming smarter, transportation. But, of course, you know, a lot of hackers are, you know, coming out of the woodworks to try and attack those. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see as smart car, smarter autos and roads and cities to come into play. Two other quick things on ransomware here. I had Webroot saying that backups will not prove enough to stop ransomware attacks. And we talked about ransomware, I think, last year a lot. The number one thing was having good backups and encouraging people to really have those. Question is, are they air-gapped? Because new forms of ransomware might be able to jump over and actually, you know, basically encrypt your backups. So that's a huge challenge. And then Sophos said... malware we protect customers from will transcend operating systems. So, again, you know, it's going to be Macs. There's going to be Android, Windows, Linux, that it won't just be your traditional Windows systems anymore. It could be others.
Yeah, I use a Mac, and so far I think they've left us alone, but I'm sure that's not going to continue.
Yeah, well, interesting to see. Another big trend, you know, kind of scary stuff for this year. A lot of different predictions around artificial intelligence being used. You know, we've been talking about that for a while. Defending systems, you know, machine learning to defend your networks, but now those being more and more used to attack. So threat actors will ride on machine learning and blockchain technologies to expand evasion techniques. That was Trend Micro. Gartner says that through 2021, AI-driven creation of counterfeit reality or fake content will outpace AI ability to detect it, which will cause more digital distrust. So basically the idea there that AI will often be, used to, basically create counterfeit content, counterfeit different situations. So basically the attackers will have the advantage over the defenders is what they're really saying there.
And then probably have AI sync to defense. So it'll be this AI battle in cyberspace, right? They'll be trying to do stuff to each other and defend. It'll be interesting to watch.
Exactly. And IBM, people think of this, you probably heard the IBM Watson, seen some of those commercials. I think we'll see them again, probably Super Bowl commercials with AI Watson. But even IBM predicted that AI versus AI will be the battleground in 2018. So a lot of discussion around that. A lot of predictions around blockchain. Cryptocurrencies is all the fad right now. A lot of talk about, a lot of people saying cryptocurrencies can't be hacked. And yet it's a lot of the wallets and the places where people are purchasing the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies, they can be attacked. And we saw at the end of last year, a South Korean company actually went bankrupt after having a major cyber attack really brought down their entire network for the second time, and they went bankrupt. So people who had money in that South Korean cryptocurrency company lost their investment.
Yeah, Warren Buffett said it's just a fad and it'll go away. Do you agree?
No, I don't. I think cryptocurrencies will be around and they'll evolve. I certainly don't think that, these predictions that it's going to go back to over $20,000 for Bitcoin. And, we saw it, go over $20,000 and come back all the way to, $10,000? Now it's around $10,000, $11,000 as we're having this show today. I think those are very high numbers, and there's more and more Bitcoins coming out all the time. But I think blockchain technology as a whole will start to be used in lots of new ways. Some of the other predictions, for this year, as we look at this year in cybersecurity, people are talking about, attacks against the elections again, the midterm elections 2018. The Olympics are coming up in South Korea. We have the World Cup soccer coming up in June in Russia, and I think all of those events are, people are saying, could they be hacked? Could there be, incidents? Certainly there'll be phishing and things about them. But a lot of people are saying blockchain will be used to help protect those elections. New blockchain technology in voting, and then others saying blockchain technology will be, will not fix this, and we're going to have more attacks against elections. But I mean, I think the point is, I think. Where I think this is going is, personally, it's going to evolve, it's going to mature, and it's certainly be part of the solution. I think we're going to have digital cryptocurrencies. We'll be talking about this 5 years from now.
Getting back to the elections, now a lot of the actual voting machines aren't synced to the internet, but the voter rolls are. And so I think I think it was the Ruskies, right? 23 states had their voter rolls hacked. And so you show up at the polls and suddenly you're not registered. What's up with that? I think, what do you think the attack vectors would be during the upcoming election?
Well, that's a great, great point, Mike. And I think we're going to see attacks, no one's saying that in the last election, the 2016 round, that we had any votes changed, but there was people, you know, the reports of people, you know, election rolls that were hacked. I certainly think that the influence, the fake news, absolutely is going to happen. We saw that already in Europe last year. I think you're going to start seeing other types of ways to try and influence people, social media, even the event, for example, a great example of this is, you know, last week it was a human error that set off that false alarm in Hawaii that, yeah. You know, people were worried for about 45 minutes that a missile strike was coming from Korea. And
that focuses the mind, right?
Yeah. And it was a human error. The guy clicked the wrong button. But there was a lot of talk online about what if that had been a hack? What if that had been a cyber attack? And so using social media, using different communication channels to give false information, I certainly think that's part of it. And there's going to be a lot of discussion. I'm sure we'll probably come back to this, of steps that states are taking to help protect and make sure the voting is fair and that it's not interrupted this fall. But I think this is going to be a hot topic, certainly in the second half of the year.
Well, certainly everyone's aware of it where they might not have been in the last election cycle. And I know Homeland Security, I was watching some program a week or two ago, Meet the Press or something, and the Homeland Security Secretary was on there talking about, they're going from state to state to trying to make sure that everybody's up to snuff, but I don't think they're going to get through all the states before the election, right?
Well, and to that same point, you know, there's a number of commissions. I guess the Trump, basically administration had said that they were going to have, this commission was basically disbanded to help protect, to work on this. I think there's a lot of different opinions on what needs to be done. Obviously there's a lot of different opinions in Washington right now as a whole between the Republicans and the Democrats. So, unfortunately, I think, there hasn't been as much progress as a number of people, including myself, hoped there would be following the 2016 election. And I think there's a lot of work to do. A lot of states are moving towards having paper ballot backups. A lot of states have gone to, no ballot backups. And people are saying we need to have, literally the old, paper backup to know who voted for who in case there was a hack. I think that's one of the questions that's going to really be swirling this year is what states are going to have what protections in place. Probably spend a whole talk just doing that, later this year.
No, Michigan, that's the one that you probably know the best, and I know the governor is really a proponent of making sure that we have very good technology in the state. Are we up to snuff? Are we ready for this?
Yeah, I think that really in the 2016 round, we have all of our ballots are backed up with basically we have a hard copy paper backup. So we have a number of protections already in place. I think we're certainly in one of the leaders in the nation in this area. Are we the best? Well, I mean, there's a few states that are at the top of the list, but I think Michigan is doing a good job. I think we're certainly much better prepared for, recounts and different types of scenarios that could happen than a number of other states. I think all the states are going to be working to make improvements this year. And I think Michigan is a leader, yes.
All right, good. We've only got about a minute left, so this is where you can shamelessly plug your current employer. Go ahead. Tell us all about Security Mentor.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And, we do security awareness training. We try and make it interesting, engaging, keep it interactive, and use gamification, interactive content to train employees on the important things they need to know, whether it be, phishing or, how to protect themselves online with social media, passwords, those types of topics, and really continue that constant update of new material so people are aware of what they can do to stay safe in cyberspace. You can read more about it at securitymentor.com, one word, securitymentor.com, and I blog at you can basically find me on Twitter at GovCSO, GovCSO. And Lorman on Cybersecurity is my blog in Government Technology Magazine. And I know you also print some of my stuff as well, so I hope you can put that prediction blog out there, which I basically summarize what all the major vendors are predicting is going to happen in 2018.
All right, we'll have to leave it at that. That's Dan Lorman, the former state chief information security officer, now in private industry, but still protecting us out there from the bad guys in cyberspace. So this is Mike Brennan. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Matt will be with us. Of course, Jessica's always with us, right, Jess?
Always.
Always. And so thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.